Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Open your hearts and loosen your butts. It's time for couples therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new Jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's couples therapy, couples therapy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Naomi.
And my name is Andy.
And we're a real-life couple.
A real-life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy, we answer a couple of questions from a couple different listeners.
Yes, folks, that is what this show is. That is what you have tuned into. I hope you are enjoying the free entertainment.
The free entertainment. You're so silly.
I am. It's my defining feature.
I would say that. I would say weird whimsy is your defining feature. You're whimsical.
Yes.
Weird is a word you use to describe yourself. I wouldn't necessarily call you weird. I wouldn't call you weird of my own accord.
Manic pixie dream boy.
Exactly.
How are you doing, Naomi?
I'm doing okay. I'll tell you this. I had some cold brew coffee thinking it would pep me up. And I tell you, it ain't doing it.
Ain't.
Ain't.
You got your hair done today. You got a blowout.
I got my hair did. It is beautiful to be back.
So is that not energizing you?
Oh, no. It's giving me the will to go on. Most certainly. I'm no longer afraid of being seen. Do you feel like I've noticed, you know, as we are social and we see people without masks, I'm very self-conscious about my face.
No, I'm not.
All right. well, look at him with his healthy self-esteem.
I look okay. I know where I am. I can pull off cute. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm like that. I have to go to the dentist still and get this tea stain.
I know.
Taken off that I've been having to look at in Zoom. For the last year. That's plagued me.
I know. I thought you were really going to schedule that.
But no, if anything, I will say this. I tweeted out a version of this in a bit of a joke form, but like the anxiety of like running into a casual acquaintance is back, and baby, it's powerful. Baby, it is flooding my veins. It is infecting every cell of my body.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
That's the one interaction that I've never mastered. You know, I'm very good at parties, just with small talk and just like, I'm good with friends. I'm very good. But it's like the casual acquaintance. I hate that interaction.
That's interesting you say that, because I was going to say, though, when you said you're good at parties, I was like, but do you remember when we talked about how you didn't know how to leave a conversation at a party? I'm wondering if a little bit of that is happening when you run into someone on the street.
It's all that. It is. So like, I'm good at a party up until the very end of a conversation. I don't know how to get out of it. But like, so a casual acquaintance is all, I don't know how to get out of this.
Right. Right.
I don't know what, if there's too much, you know what it is? It's all gray area, right? Because when you see a friend on the street, you stop, right? There's no like, you don't, there's no bones about it. That's what I was about to say. And then I stop myself and then I'm like, that's a phrase, right? Anyway, the point is you stop and you talk to them. But when it's a casual acquaintance, you're doing this calculus. Everyone's doing that meme where the equations are going on in the background of the woman's face.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That's what's happening with everyone. And you're trying to figure out, should I stop and talk to this person? And they're trying to figure out that. And then you're both trying to figure out how long this interaction is supposed to go on.
Right.
And it's too much gray area.
Yep.
And I do not flourish in gray areas. My anxiety.
Yes, absolutely. That I am aware of.
Shoots through the roof in gray areas. It is a bear market for my anxiety. Is bear good? Or not good, but like, is bear when the stock market is doing well?
I thought it was bull when it's doing
bull
well.
Bull market?
It's bull or bear, but I don't know which is which, so who knows?
Well, I don't know, but do you know what I do know, Naomi?
What?
We have a fantastic fucking guest today on the show.
Well, of course she's a wonderful dear friend. You've already heard her voice, her dulcet tones, as I like to say. Yes, we talk to the one, the only, Sydney Washington, okay? You may know her from her new podcast, Hobby Hunter. You may know her from her previous podcast, Unofficial Expert. You may know her from her Instagram show, Cooking with Sid, which is an unhinged wild ride where food is sometimes actually cooked. But Sid is, like, so nice, and this was, like, very, you know, it's funny because I always assume the young, hot black girls don't really like me. Like, I'm very, like, old auntie energy to them. And so that's what I assume, you know, so I'm always like, I hope we can have a conversation. But I know this Sid was very, very warm.
Sid's always been very warm.
I know.
Yeah. Since we first met her when we did this show in the back of a bar in New York.
Yeah.
5 years ago or something like that.
That's so true.
Hey, before we get into the show, though, I just wanted to read this. This is an update. So a couple episodes ago, we talked to our wonderful pal, Elliot Glazer. Mm-hmm. And we answered a question on that episode about someone is there, you know, now that the world is opening back up again, they decided they want to have sex for the first time.
For the first time. They're trying to get into it. Yep.
Okay. And they asked our advice. Like, what's, you know, if you had a child and you were telling and you were giving them some the talk,
I'd say don't do it ever.
Well,
I'm kidding.
Well, they wrote back to us, Naomi.
I love it.
Update.
I love it.
I'm gonna read it right here. Hi, previous caller sending a follow up. I'm the 27-year-old who wanted to have sex for the first time after the pandemic. You guys actually answered my call the day right before I planned to do it.
Oh my God! See, that is the Lord at work. That's serendipitous.
That is kismet. That is the Lord. That is your higher power. However you want to phrase it. Guy was from Tinder, did an Instagram background check. I told him it was my first time. I initiated each step and felt in control the whole time. Two things. This sucker didn't have a single condom, so nothing that would involve a condom. Sorry to heteronormativity. I would say there's plenty of... Is B&V, is that the only everything?
Honestly, you should have a condom for everything. You should have a condom when you go to the store. You should have a condom when you are at the doctor's office. You should have a condom when you're sitting on a park bench.
You should be just like in Naked Gun, one of the Naked Gun movies. He just wears a giant condom on his body. That's what he should be.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, I felt nothing.
In all caps.
Physically.
Uh-huh.
Or emotionally.
Right. I'm glad.
The first time. The entire time. Not for his lack of trying, but a fun, self-voyeuristic, anthropological experience anyways.
Fun, self-voyeuristic, anthropological experience. Well, if that's not sex, I don't know what it is.
He was surprised I was so calm about the whole thing. I'm going to keep trying with other people for variety.
I love it.
But just wanted to send in the conclusion and let you both know. You're great interviewers and sweethearts. Thanks.
Aww, oh, what an angel.
That's so nice.
Also very exciting.
Yeah, I'm glad it was like a neutral experience.
Neutral. Exactly. Sex neutral.
Yeah.
That's good. Not negative.
Neutral. But not sex neutral. Just neutral.
But I'm just going to... The sex was neutral. You know what I mean? So the sex was not negative, which is great. You know, especially, you know, I love them saying like, I initiated the whole way, being direct. And we love that for them, as Lacey Mosley would say. So that's beautiful. And I love a follow-up, guys.
Love a follow-up.
Now that you know what's going on, we're all up to speed. Let's get into Sydney Washington. Roll it. Now, I didn't even realize you were in Los Angeles. Because at first I was like, Andy, well, isn't it 9 something for her? And then he was like, no, she's here. And then you said you're staying with a girlfriend. But I thought has your girlfriend always lived in LA?
No. This is fairly new. This is a pandemic relationship.
Okay.
And it's just working out for us considering, you know, I want to be in LA anyway. So.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. You have the cheekbones for Los Angeles. You know what I mean? You have the bone structure for this town. So perhaps it's time. even though, you know, I think it's trash. So what, don't force it.
You know, TSA does do that. They check to see what your cheekbone structure is before you come into Los Angeles.
That, and then they demand you create a podcast within the first 72 hours.
Right.
Or
right.
you're kicked out.
Right.
Sid. I thought I was ready for LA, and then my teeth, the color of my teeth were not up to par. Just the shape of my teeth, the overbite. I thought I had really good teeth in New York, and then I came here, and it's like, oh, you have at least 20 grand worth of work to do.
No.
Right. Yes. That's what they say. You're an incisor in LA, but a molar in New York.
You are so dumb, yes. Andy.
Sid. I realized when I was thinking about talking to you, I was like, I know almost nothing about you. I know you used to bottle service waitress, mm-hmm. right? Uh-huh. I know that. I know you were born in New York.
Uh-huh.
And that's about it. That's about the sum total of what I know about you.
That's all people should know about me. But if you watch my Insta stories, you would know a lot more that you didn't ask for. So... That's
you're a cipher. You are a cipher to me, is what I'm saying.
That's interesting. But it's interesting because Sid is open, though. Like, I remember when I saw, I feel like the last time we were on a show together, right? When I was in New York many moons ago, and you were talking about, you were at the Knitting Factory, and you were talking about being on Wellbutrin. And then when you were done, I was like, okay, let me talk to you about milligrams.
I was having a mini spiral of, just medication, because I was just trying out new stuff, and I was on Zoloft, and then I did Wellbutrin, and now I'm on something else. But I was really like, so when does it work? I just want to know when I'm gonna feel better.
Right.
Well, you told me, and you gave me good tips, and I was like, okay, and now I'm much better.
Oh, that's so good. I'm so glad. Yeah. You found what worked.
Our couples therapist has explained to us, so that I could understand a little better, that... Because in my mind, it's that antidepressants, I thought, oh, it just fixes everyone, right? And then he's like, no, it just makes the lows less awful. And he's like, and that's about it. And I'm like, oh, okay, I understand.
Well, and also what he had to explain to Andy, too, because, you know, it's like, again, as you said, you're trying stuff, you know, and I was like, well, some stuff doesn't work, you know? And Andy was like, what do you mean sometimes it doesn't work? You know what I mean? Like, he was like, I thought it works. And then our therapist, he goes, Andy, it's honestly just like throwing spaghetti against a wall, seeing what sticks. And when he said that, he was like, oh, okay,
I didn't realize antidepressants were the same thing as like a Tiny Toon script, where they're just like throwing out like 3,000 gags, and like one of them's going to be funny.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's an open mic of sadness. Like, I'm just trying to figure out what is going to make me not as sad as I was. And now I feel sad when I feel sad, but I'm not feeling sad all the time. Mm. But I did during the fourth month of the pandemic, I hit my psychiatrist up and I was like, I need more. I need more. And she's like, it's the point of antidepressants is not for you to feel nothing at all. It's just for you to manage. And I was like, I don't want to manage. And she was like, yeah, I'm not. We're not changing the dosage. That doesn't sound like someone who needs more.
By the way, how is an open mic of sadness different from an open mic, period?
Woo! Andy, just trigger us. Why don't you?
So wait. Okay, wait. So you were born in New York, but then I read on Wikipedia.org that you your family moved to Oakland, I guess California, unless there's another Oakland.
No, there's the only Oakland I know is in California. And my mom was in New York, and then my other half of my family was in Oakland, California. So I moved to Oakland, California with my great aunt and great uncles and my cousins. So my immediate family was still in New York, but the family that raised me was in Oakland.
Did mom just need a little break? She was like, I need you to raise this kid for a little bit while I get some stuff together.
Okay, low key, high key, my mom let me go there for like a couple of weeks, and then they were like, well, why don't you just stay? Why don't they just stay? And we stayed, and what? it was just me, and it, my mom was like, she deserves a backyard, and she needs clean air, and she needs a big wheel, and it was all things that's like, we can do that in New York, stop it. But yeah, it was, I had a childhood, and so that's why people live on the West Coast to actually live. So,
Well, do you say actually live? I say it's just to be outside. And you can call that living, but I don't. Okay? I don't. Being outside is not enough.
Well, only when the weather is nice. I'm here and it's like gray right now. And I'm like, yeah, I could go back to New York. Like, it doesn't look any different than like London right now. The only reason to be here is when the sun is completely shining and it's a solid 82 degrees.
See, summer's your season. See me, honey, I'd be sweating above 75 degrees. Oh, you know what I mean? Okay, like some people I get it. Like where you're like, it's hot and I'm feeling good. I don't. Like this gray, I was like, oh, what a wonderful day. I want to feel like I'm in an English novel. You know what I mean? Like in the countryside, just wrapped up in a blanket. What do you think, Andrew?
Eating soup. Sorry. In my mind, this is where my mind was. You are wrapped in a blanket and you're just eating a cup of soup.
Well, that sounds like heaven. That's what I'd like to do every day.
That sounds like college to me. And I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at that at all.
So, sorry, Mabel.
Oh, Lord. You know, we got a damn menagerie here. So
I know. How is Mabel?
Thank you so much for asking. Her stitches came out yesterday.
She's doing extremely well. She's back to better. Normal. We're going on walks again. Her biopsy of the breast tissue, negative. No cancer. So we got it all out.
Okay. Okay.
Got it all out.
We needed to know nothing but positive things because Mabel is a staple of the community. And she's a pillar of my community. And I need everything and anything good to happen to her. She deserves it.
Thank you for understanding.
Would you say Mabel's a queer icon?
Wow.
Yeah, she gives me queer. I thought she gives me like asexual vibes, but I could be wrong.
Okay. Yeah, okay, okay, that's probably closer. wait, where are we? Soup.
So
you're more at home. This is my personal theory about East Coast, West Coast is only about, it has nothing to do with like the actual location. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with vibing. And I, as a person of science, I know that sounds crazy coming from me, but what I mean is that like, there are some people who like have a relaxed vibe around them and they fit in better on the West Coast because the West Coast engenders a relaxed vibe. Whereas if you are, tightly wound and anxious, the East Coast is the place for you because that's one tightly wound and anxious coast. Discuss.
I am an anxious person, and I think that I do vibe well in LA, but my problem is that I'm so anxious and I'm overthinking that I think everyone is being fake, and everyone is like, they're only here for a little time and a good time, but they're not here for the long road, and that's LA. Yes. And in New York, I don't feel like that at all.
Yes.
Like, yes, it's like real like dingy and messy and, you know, the quality of living is awful, but I think the quality of people is much better.
Yes, absolutely.
So I like being here when there's a purpose. But New York, you know, you can just lay on somebody's couch. You can not have a job for 5 months and be like, this is home. I feel good. But you can't do that in LA. You don't work for a month and you might just be on Skid Row. Like you always have to be working here.
Exactly. I mean, also, though, but it's so funny because you say dingy. Literally two houses down from us is like what would you call it? A busted, burned out car that's been there for months, and every few weeks, you know, someone does something new to it, like tags it, like busts out a new window.
It kind of reminds me of North Philadelphia, if that makes sense to anyone.
But it's just like, literally, I was like, okay, I thought this was supposed to be better, honey. I grew up in Harlem, and I will say Harlem is looking better than East Hollywood. I'm gonna tell you that right now.
But I was going to say that what they turned it into art now. So it's like an installation. So actually, it's better than what you're talking about.
Okay, so actually it's Banksy. So what we're saying is like that. Maybe that's why it hasn't moved. Because I've literally been like, why is no one towed this? Or like, why haven't they called the city?
Because because people are walking. But Naomi, have you never seen the docent walk past?
Wow.
On our block leading tours.
Okay, that's that 94-year-old Armenian woman. Okay, yeah.
I'm like, where do you guys live? It sounds like a show. Have you written the show?
Oh, God, no, please. It can't all be It can't all be capitalism.
Wait.
No, you're right. You're right. That's wait. This is me in LA. I'm like, I know, okay, I know. So I feel the log line is coming. We should start a pitch in about 2 weeks from now, right? Are you guys open? Let's do the pitch. I think we're ready. I think ABC is very into what you guys have.
Don't fall into this. Don't.
Don't
retain your humanity.
Retain your humanity.
It's hard. I will say that I don't know if this was the next question, but I definitely think that as a person, I am very lax. I'm like, you know, live your life, do what you need to do. But the anxiety I have on like, what's the next level? What's the next thing? Because we realize being in the house, everything being shut down, it's like, what is your purpose? What I watched Soul 4 times in a row, and I literally wrote down things like, okay, so if I just quit comedy and find out what my true goal is, maybe I'll have something to offer to society. Like, that's what I was going into such a hole. And so now I'm like, I just want to, if I do move to LA, I don't want everything contingent on, am I booking? Do I have you know, new agents, new managers? Is things popping off? Am I impressed? But I'm also like, I would like to be a live-in girlfriend. That's bad.
Is your girlfriend in the biz?
She is. She is an actress. She is comedy. She's one on the call sheet on a show.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Now, you could be a live-in girlfriend.
Yeah. Oh, no. She's not one of those gays. She's like, get your ass up and work. let's split 50-50. Let's go.
Wait, how'd you guys meet?
We met through Instagram. Can you believe?
No.
Oh my God. What is that? Like, what was this? Like Sid Can Cook? She saw you just making some messes in the kitchen.
That is not how I get the gals, Naomi. You know that. it was truly just seeing someone in the comments, and she saw my comment, and then she looked at my page and, you know, probably did some stalking, and then you know, we slid in each other's DMs, and by we, just her sliding in mine, and then it happened. You can find the love of your love of your life in the comments. So I believe you should look in the comments.
But like, was it, you know, what is that process of, obviously, like, okay, you're both like, she's cute, but because you don't know each other yet. So is it just like, hey, you want to text? Like, you guys are just messaging back and forth, kind of feeling the personality. And then it's like, let's talk. And then it's less. Like, I'm trying to get to how you got to the point where you were like, I am staying with you in Los Angeles.
Okay. All right. So I don't know if you know this, but the relationship before this was 5 years. So I'm a squatter. I can stay. You know, I can stay somewhere. I can make sure things are going to pan out the way I want them to, kind of. So I think it's mainly like, if you are a top tier lesbian, you're putting it all out up top. You're like, okay, so we're talking on the phone for 2 hours. Do you want to date or no? Like, that's kind of what happened. Like, we talked on the phone for 2 to 3 hours, and you can kind of tell in a sitting if you want to move forward with somebody. Yeah, I didn't know everything about her because Google is not that sufficient, but I feel like I knew enough that I was like, okay, I could date this person for real.
Even without kissing on the mouth?
Yes. Because my mind is a beautiful thing. I can just picture how someone's going to kiss. You can tell the way somebody is going to kiss by the way they say spaghetti. If they say spaghetti, the way you say spaghetti, like I kind of stutter spaghetti. So it's like, I'm not the best kisser, but my girlfriend, it just rolls. It's something about the spot. It comes out, and she's a great kisser. So I'm true to this. I'm true to whatever I just said.
So is Eminem a good kisser?
Mom spaghetti? Absolutely not, Andrew.
I'm going to look at his track record and say no.
Yeah. Safe bet.
So, okay. So your mind is a mouth. Like, your mind, you could.
Okay. That's the title of this pod. Your mind is your mouth.
Yes.
There it is.
Yes,
I like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I mean, like you, so there was no smooching. There was just mental smooching.
Yeah. Mental, because I think it was a little bit of I'm desperate. I, you know, we haven't touched anybody in a while. And I think, you know, turning 36, I was like, listen, like, either you're going to date because this is for real, or you're going to whore it up. And we're in a pancetta, and I can't whore it up right now. So it's like, I got to put all my eggs in one Trader Joe's basket. So absolutely, let's go. And I think that I am a dateable person, but I also know there's things that I need to work on. So it's not like I can't get a date. It's more like, do they want to be with me forever? Mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you, you know, I never had the confidence for long distance relationships. You know what I mean? And not even like that I thought somebody would cheat per se, as much as I was like, I don't know how to hold someone's attention. You know?
Naomi, Andy, let me tell you, I learned so much about myself. I was like, I thought that I was a talker, but I'm not. I want to be on the phone. I love FaceTime because it's like, I can see your face. We're mm-hmm. talking, we're in it. But I don't want to say much. We could look. I don't mind you watching TV and being on FaceTime with me.
I like that.
But I'm not an LD person either. I don't like long distance at all. But it's like, well, what do you want? There's nothing in New York. Your heart is here. So what do you want? Do you want to be in New York and not be with somebody who you want to be with long term, and it's all just a couple of hookups? Or you get those, you know, unlimited plan, and you talk, and then when you can see them, you see them.
Yeah. When I was working out here in 2013 and Naomi was back in New York, we would watch TV together. We would sync up our computers. And Skype play. We would Skype with each other and sync up our computers and then hit play at the same time.
Yeah,
that is so beautiful. Oh my god, that is romance though. That is truly romance. I think that people really had to pull out all the stops when, you know, there wasn't a lot of things to do, and it was like, you have to get creative. You have to show that you're into someone. It's not just typing words or sliding in someone in DMs. Like, you have to show more. You have to send orchids. You have to send cupcakes. Oh yeah, cupcakes, I sent orchids and cupcakes to somebody and they didn't want me. But I'm just saying, like, you have to put it on. Yeah, right. I don't want to date anymore. I'm not good at it. I'm bad. I was in.
That sounds
in,
like you're great at it. Fucking cupcakes and orchids.
No. Nobody.
That's how Naomi got me cupcakes.
That's true.
Really?
Yes. I rolled up to his house in Greenpoint. Do you remember? I don't know how long you lived in New York. Do you remember Crumbs Cupcakes?
Yes, absolutely.
The cupcakes are the size of a damn softball.
Yes.
I rolled up.
Or a baby's head.
A baby's head. I rolled up to his house with two Crumbs cupcakes and was just like, which one do you want?
Okay, see, now I love hearing stuff like this, because sometimes it's just like, you do feel like romance is dead, that everybody's just shacking up because they're, you know, they're desperate. But this is like love, like coming up with dessert, making sure that, like, we're long distance and we're watching TV on Skype. Like, Skype, it doesn't have this. It's pixelated as fuck.
Right.
Pixelated, not hot at all. There's no filters or nothing. Nope. So, like, y'all were doing the real deal.
Yeah.
Skype is romance.
It is.
And you know what, Skype? You can pay me for that tagline if you want.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Skype. Especially, exactly, because you're very right. Because, you know, in the Zoom age, touch on my appearance. We can hang out all the time. But Skype is like, hi, take. Well, literally just me now, like before you were coming on, I just like looked in the mirror and I was like, this is me. I can't.
You're gorgeous.
You're very sweet.
Naomi, I don't even want to hear. You're so naturally beautiful. You do what you do. I'm telling you, listen, as someone who draws on other faces all the time, I mean, you got it. You're good.
Wow.
You hear that, kid? You got it.
I got it. I'm in Hollywood and since I got it. Okay. Andy, do you feel like we're ready to answer some questions?
No, I have, I have a couple more questions.
Okay, because Sid, you know we're going to answer people's relationship questions, and so that's why I'm asking you where you're at, so we can get a sense when you give your two cents where you're coming from.
Because I want to know, okay, so this, how new is this relationship? Because you said the last one was 5 years. When did that end?
It ended right before the pandemic started. So it ended like over a year ago in like November or something like that.
Oh, okay.
October, November. And then the pandemic hit in February, and then we started talking in July 21st. We made it official. So almost a year.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Because
like, you know, where are you? Like, how many girlfriends have you had? How many long-term relationships? 5 years. That's a solid. Chunk. That's a big chunk of
adulthood,
human mortal life.
Yeah, definitely in my 30s. I would say I was a whore when I was in my early 20s. I did whatever I wanted. I was an alcoholic, and you know, when the Patron is in the system, ain't no telling. And and now I am sober person, and it's just like, well, who do I want to talk to in the daytime, in the nighttime? Whose labia I want to look at, like with no alcohol involved. Like,
right.
it's like, who has good insurance? Like, just straight up.
Yes.
What's your insurance? Yes. What is your insurance like? Because I really cannot do this United Healthcare no more. It is tired. It is for the birds, I swear.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Labia and Liberty Mutual. Those are the two.
That's another good title. Write that down.
I literally have been writing, and I wrote top tier lesbian. Your mind is your mouth. But I love this. And Liberty Mutual. But, okay, wait. I thought, and again, I'm only basing this on like a set I saw, like, you know, just what I've heard in business. Didn't you come out later in life? Not later in life, my God, but like.
No, I did.
Adults. You're an adult. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe 27, okay. 28.
So you haven't even had a decade in this life.
No, not really. I mean, the first person I kissed was a girl, but I think because I grew up in a very, religious home, and just like heterosexuality is just thrown. It's like, this is what it is. Like, this is the natural. Default. This is the way it's supposed to be. And then I will say I got like in college, I went to college and then became a little bit more free. And I realized I was like, I think I like girls. I think I like them. And then by the time I was like, I really do like girls. Honestly, nobody gave a fuck. Like, the people around me were more concerned like what type of tequila I was drinking and not like what I was putting in my mouth, like in terms of a genital. They're like, oh, you're drinking Don Julio Silver? Yuck. Like, they cared more about that than like, oh, so you like women, you like men, you like walls. They don't care. They don't care at all.
Which religion?
Did you grow up in? You said which you grew up in.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Plain old Christian.
Oh, Baptist. Baptist. Oh, okay.
Baptist, yeah. Very.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like the real, like the Pentecostal end of it, or?
Methodist. Okay. But whatever that means. But we went to church every Sunday. I don't care if you're on your deathbed. We're rolling you to church.
Yeah.
I was vacation Bible school. I was an acolyte. I was an usher. I was in the children's choir.
I need to hear about vacation Bible school, because things are an oxymoron. Vacation and Bible school.
We were in there heavy every summer. There would be like the tuna fish sandwiches and like the Lord. They're like, we're going to talk about God outside. You know, we usually do it in church. Now we outside. I was like, now you're ruining the trees with this shit. Like, what? There was no vacation. It was all Bible.
Yeah.
They lied.
Oh my God. Was that all summer, or would it be just like a couple weeks?
It would be like 3 or 4 weeks. It felt like all of the summer.
Yeah,
it
that's
felt
a
like
big
all
chunk.
Of the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a big chunk of the summer when you're a kid,
hard.
Especially.
Instead of
Sunday just being Sunday, it was like Monday through Friday was Sunday. It sucked. It was hard.
I'm sorry.
Look, thank you. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Yes, I'm sorry that you had to go there. Also, look, religion should get you for a couple hours a week. All right. You should church, synagogue, whatever you're going to.
Yep.
All right. You get a couple hours on a Saturday or Sunday, preferably a Sunday, so that you can watch Saturday morning cartoons. I'm talking to you, Judaism. Move the day of worship. All right. Because I missed all the X-Men cartoons when I was a kid. I missed Smurfs.
Okay.
I missed the Nintendo. My mom had to tape them on VHS tapes. Anyway, my point is, Not,
you're like, I want my Sunday back. I heard you.
Exactly.
I hear you.
Exactly.
Andy.
It's really
you're right.
I doubt 3 or 4 weeks during the summer, during prime playing time.
Right. I know. I know. When your child is supposed to be free, when a child is supposed to let it all go.
We need.
And they're like, you're wicked. You know what I mean? Every day, you're wicked. I mean, what's interesting, though, to me, like, first of all, though, I think worship should be like on a Monday. Quite honestly, I want my Sundays free. I think church, temple, mosque, you know, any, you should worship like on a Monday from 7 to 8:30.
Actually, I love that. I love that idea.
Nothing's good on Monday.
I only love that idea because then it would get Mondays out the, like Monday would have a whole thing. Like,
yes.
We already hate Mondays, but at least we're like, oh, we're doing everything that we hate on a Monday. And
exactly.
It works, yes. You know?
Yep.
And also a 4-day work week. So it's Tuesday to Friday.
I love that. Yeah.
And then Monday you get a couple hours in the morning. So here's how it goes. You get the morning, you get to go to whatever place of worship you want to.
Oh, okay. You want to do morning.
Then
right.
You go to therapy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, come on.
So baby. Mondays are for religion and therapy.
It's for taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay, you guys, we have to start a country.
Okay.
Or we have to start a town. We have to do something. We have to bring this energy together.
Yeah. Sorry, we're just so, I love chatting and I don't see you guys enough. So this is like, this is a FaceTime right now.
I know. Well, no, that's what I like though. I needed it. It's funny because literally you were late and I go, sit. Why is she late? She know I don't like doing stuff. Because my thing is like, because I never want to be anywhere. So then if someone's late, I just go, we'll give it up. We'll just give it up. Like, I literally have such a narrow window for existence. But
wait,
then I...
can we just read the text message that Naomi sent me? Or that sent, it sent me. It sent me through the roof. I was like, oh, my God, I got to get there. Quick, I got to get there now. It said, hey, Sid, just checking in. Are you still good for recording couples therapy now? If not, no worries. But there was no period. So it was like, it is worries. Get here now. And I was like, I'm coming.
That is so funny you say that, though, because Andy is the one, he told me, he was like, because I was like, how do I word it so it's not scary? And then Andy's the one, he goes, say, just checking in.
Yeah,
and then I added no worries because I thought no worries was even lighter than just checking in. Nope.
Jador.
It didn't do it. It didn't do it. It didn't do it.
That proves that. The intent, whatever the intent is for text,
I know.
It's whatever the person reading it, that's the voice that they're assigning to it.
This is why now I like doing voice notes, especially for anything, because I'm always like, oh, yeah, this isn't going to come out right. Or like there's a possibility it won't come out right.
Oh, Naomi, you're so smart. That's what I should do. But then I can't see the receipts. Like, I need to see it visually. Like, audio, yes, because then I'll just play it over and over and over like a psycho. But I just, I want to actually see the words, too.
I see what you're saying.
But so you know, that's you why I don't like voice notes.
But you can keep it, right? Because, you know, some they go away after 2 minutes, which sometimes can be good when you're being real inappropriate.
No. Okay, Naomi.
But then you can kind of keep them, so that way you can still keep your record. But I know you say you want to see black and white. Well, then we got to have somebody transcribe them for you, Sid.
Okay. Talk to iPhone about it. Love to hear more.
No, why doesn't your girlfriend hire someone?
Exactly.
To transcribe your voicemail texts for you?
If she hires anybody, it would be like to get Sydney more jobs. That's what she she just wants the girl to get booked. That's it.
Ugh, honestly, don't we all? You know what I mean? Like, that's a real lover wants you to get booked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Beautiful. I think that's at the core of our relationship is us wanting the best for the other person.
Yeah, we each want the other to get booked.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Aww,
you not.
Stop being so good.
Well, you know, it's been 11 years, honey.
It has.
We had to get good at it. We got good at being good. I don't think, like, we learned on each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We worked at it.
This is so, you know what? I usually don't like root for heterosexual couples, but this one, guys, it's on the list.
Honestly, we've heard that before. Honestly, we are a heterosexual couple you can get behind.
Can you guys make t-shirts? Can you guys, that is merch right there. A heterosexual couple you could get behind.
Shit, you are
write
speaking.
That down, Naomi. That's so good.
You are speaking straight to my heart. Merch?
So many gems here. I love.
Oh, it's all happening naturally, and that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
All
right. I feel like.
You now feel like you have it?
Yeah, I feel like I understand you. I feel like when I walked into this and I was like, who is Sid? I feel like I've answered that question.
Who is Sid? Okay, you guys, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with Sydney Washington to help you handle your scandal.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey y'all, wanted to pop in real quick and let you know that if you like what you hear and you want to support the show, there are a couple different ways.
Most of our support comes from our wonderful Patreon community. For $5 a month, you get 2 bonus episodes of just us, mostly spilling the tea, and occasionally searching for crazy bread in Los Angeles, plus lots of other bonus content. We love our Page Pals, and we couldn't do this without you. And if you want to join, go to patreon.com/couplestherapypod.
We also have merch, which includes Gotta Miss a Bitch and Jubu t-shirts, yeah, which you can find in the link tree in our Twitter or Insta bios.
And for absolutely $0, you can rate and review the show on Apple.
5 stars, please. It'll only take 10 seconds, and it helps us tremendously. Okay, that's it. We love you deeply. Now back to the show.
And we're back!
We got Sydney Washington up in here. We having a FaceTime and you get to listen. Now, Sid, we get questions from our listeners. We get DMs. We get emails. We get, what do you call it? Voicemails. I mean, people are coming at us from all sides.
Yeah.
And these people, honey, they need us. They need us, Sid. So you have got to just be open for the journey we're about to go on. Okay?
What's that phone number if they want to leave a voicemail?
323-524-7839.
And by the way, I will say this. It helps maybe if you set a timer because there's a 3-minute limit and a number of people have had to leave multiple messages because they got cut off. And here is actually one of them.
All right, y'all. So it's Lala again. I'm going to try this again because I ran out of time the first time. I do want to say I love y'all podcast. I discovered it while I was listening to Nicole Byer and Naomi was on there and I just thought y'all were. You were so funny, and I was just like, oh, my God. So I found this, and I love it. I got myself a little Jubu, so, you know, he loves it, too. Anyway, let me get to it. Okay, we are in this predicament where my husband's sister needs us to babysit just about every week. Now, that usually wouldn't be a problem for me, but their relationship, to me, isn't as tight as it used to be. You know what I'm saying? before she got married to her husband, they used to be really tight, used to hang out all the time, you know, communicate. As soon as she got with that man, their relationship is pretty much gone. We see each other our holidays, you know, it's still kiki, we still have a good time, but it's definitely just not the same. So, you know, they give us absolutely no notice to watch this child, okay? Now, they both have very stable, healthy jobs. They got married, they bought a house, and then they made a decision to have a child, okay? In my world, being able to be in a position where you could choose to have a child is a privilege. So for me, I'm like, you made this decision. This your bed. You got to lay in it. So my question is, how shitty is it of us as aunties and uncles to not want to watch this damn baby every week? And also, the grandmama watched the baby every week a few times a week. So, sorry, I had to put that real close. Once again, thank y'all so much. And my name is Lala. All right, bye.
I love Lala. Yeah. I love Lala. I was like, everything you're saying is correct. What did you think, Sydney?
She's cute for me. I'm here for what she's saying, because it's like, not only is I'm looking sideways at the relationship, but like, you're also asking me to cut into my personal time. Like, like people who don't have kids also deserve their time as well.
Yes.
You know, like they want to help out, duh. But it's also like, you got to help yourself, babe. You need a nanny. You need to find another cousin. I don't know. make friends at the bar and then have them as like new people to watch the kid. I don't know. It's just, you got to rotate. You can't just use the same people over and over again, because then they get worn out and burnt out.
Right. But I also think it's interesting, because I noticed this too, because like my family and my mom especially is this way where you're like, it's family. You do whatever for family. And I think that's part of what is happening here. Because she's saying, like, the brother and sister ain't even, like, hanging like they used to. Mm-hmm. But because they family, the sister expects him to watch the kid. And probably that's why he hasn't said no either. Because it's like, well, I guess I kind of have to because we family. And it's like, I think family, obviously, we love our family in a different way than we love other people. But I still think family relationships are relationships that require work. And that you cannot take for granted. And just
they
assume.
Require building boundaries that are not there. Because you grow up with these people.
Uh-huh.
So you have to later in life actually build the boundaries that you never built in the first place because you didn't know you had to.
That's true. That's very true. Boundaries are very hard. Do you have siblings?
I do. I have a brother and a sister, but I'm kind of estranged from my family. Don't tell anybody. But like, I don't talk to my family as much.
Yeah.
And I will say, if you don't put up those boundaries, if you don't say this is where the line is, they will cross them. Even when you tell them, they still find a way to try to cross it. So I'm here for titles, but I'm also like, we can throw those titles away. I don't give a fuck if you are my mother, brother, sister. Like, you're not going to walk over me like a stranger would.
Yep. That's exactly.
So it's like, how? Sorry, I interrupted.
No. Go ahead. You think how should Lala say something?
Yes. How should Lala do this? Do you guys want to role play?
Well, but here's Lala and someone. Okay. But wait, before we do that, though, remember, Lala is going to have to tell her husband to do it.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? It's a different conversation.
Oh, Lala's not the one who's going to be having this conversation. Oh, well, then I would say Hector your husband until he does what you want. Belittle him until
I was like, I never use Andy, sometimes you use words that are so fun to me and unexpected. Hector your husband.
I love that. He's got a Hector to people.
Honey, he's well read. And that's what you know when you hear him speak. But I think it's like, I mean, and again, not that Lala shouldn't be there, again, because it is her house too, and she's on call to watch the kid as well. But I think the brother has to do it first. And I think, you know, either coming out up top and just saying, hey, you got 2 days out the month I can watch the baby. You want to set up a schedule now?
Yeah.
And so you know your days you're doing it. You can't just roll up and drop a kid off at my door. Maybe something like that.
I think that's perfect. That's perfect. It's just like, I'm not an Uber driver. I'm not on an app. Like, you can't just use me when you need me. Like, that's not how it works. So, yeah, I think a schedule be like, or look at what you have to do for the month and be like, okay, so these are the days that we're available.
Right.
If this works for y'all, cool. If not, you're going to have to find somebody else.
Exactly.
Period.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea for an app, by the way, babysitters. Like, you call it Kinder.
Kinder? And you want to get them to come over immediately?
Yeah.
But see, you don't want a crazy person. That's the problem with the apps when it comes to babysitting.
And there's 90% of Tinder is crazy people. So I believe every app, there's even the people who do the like DoorDash and stuff, they're low key, you know, high
low key. Low key, high key.
Yeah. You're on a bicycle in a storm to drop off two cheeseburgers to me? Mento. Mento. That's Mento to me. I'm sorry.
I hope you tip that person well.
Well, you got to.
You have storm. To. You should.
Well, yeah, no, it's not. No, cause it's,
I know, it was just
you
kidding.
Know. I'm like, you have to, but it's also like, if you got that bike, you shouldn't be doing this.
Yes.
You have to find another thing.
Yeah.
You have to find another hustle.
Yep.
So I actually like what you guys are saying, that you, it's not that you're cutting the off the in-laws.
Yeah.
You are just saying, hey, we have two, you get 2 days a month.
Yeah. Or you know, whatever day or whatever. You need. Right. Exactly. But yeah. Because, so that's just direct, right? And that's like just kind of handling the issue. Now, there's another part, and it depends on their relationship, where it's like, hey, sis, I don't see you no more except for when you want to drop off your baby. And that's more of an emotional conversation. Like, I feel like you don't want to hang. You just want me when you want someone to watch your kid.
Yeah, but that's for the brother.
Yeah, right, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's like a more emotional thing.
But that should be the second conversation. Because then if you start off with that, it sounds like it's more emotion rather mm-hmm. than I'm not available. I need my own time.
Right.
So you come in like, hey, I'm not like your babysitter and I have things to do. So these are the only times I'm free. But also, I would like to see you, bro. Like,
yeah.
I miss you. I love you. It's right. not, we got to make time for each other so that we don't lose the sense of like familyness or whatever. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. Because it's like, you can't have the family part where someone just does stuff for you, no questions asked, without doing the other family part, which is like love and kindness and fun.
Yeah.
I don't know. We don't know about it. We're guessing about family things. Well, it's true. Because it's like, what are you doing? And then also, you know, and it's so funny because Lala, she's like, they bought a house. They got married. It's like, they have amenities, they have assets, mm-hmm. they mm-hmm. need to be able to find like a 15-year-old for $10 an hour who'll watch this kid. I don't know what babysitting charges nowadays.
Yes,
in my day it was $10.
Yeah. If you were mine, like, was like a couple bucks and some Reese's peanut butter cups.
Good lord, they paid you in kids.
Hey, if you have two jobs, get an au pair.
That's true.
That's true. I come in screaming at people
to get a living nanny. It's like, Andy, well, not everyone has that. Do you want to do our next question?
Yes. So, this one comes to us anonymous from an Instagram direct message.
You know about those, Sid.
So, this starts out. So, I'm getting divorced. We have been married for 15 years and have 3 kids. The divorce is necessary. He was for the streets. And prior to this, when I believed the marriage was happy, I totally thought I was following rule number 1. Gotta miss a bitch. We have a motto on this show. You gotta miss a bitch. You have to miss the person you are in a relationship with. You have to go off and have your own adventures and then come back and discuss with each other.
Yeah.
But now that we're here and I have a glut of time on my hands, I now realize it's been 15 years, maybe more, since I even knew what my favorite movie was.
Mm.
It's obviously no longer The Notebook. I have all this very basic, long, unexamined stuff and I don't even know where to start. Advice?
Oh my God, this is big. Well, okay, Sid, again, obviously 15 years and 5 are not the same, but when you were in that long-term relationship and you ended it, was there a period where you felt like, okay, let me figure out who I am and what I'm about now? Or was it always kind of like you did your own thing?
You know, I did my own thing when I was younger, which is everybody needs to do their own thing, obviously. But then there comes to the point where, like, you can do your own thing and also be with someone. Like, people need to stop the bullshit. Grow up. We coexist with people. Don't be like, I can't figure this out with someone in my apartment. Yes, you can. Stop it. But I will say that I had too much baggage going on, and I truly did need to work on myself, and that's why I threw myself right into another relationship. But I'm working on it, and you know what? I'm a medicated messy bitch, so I'm a lot better than unmedicated. So
I love medicated messy bitch. Now that's a merch, Sid. You sell that. You sell that.
All right. Got it.
Sid, you got to start a Twitter thread where you go through some of this messy stuff so that you can then sell it a la Zola.
Ooh, you're right. I mean, there's just so many things that have happened to me that I'm like, should I even say that out loud? That might be embarrassing. That might be really embarrassing.
I know what you mean. But at the same time, we have to remove shame. We have to remove shame.
Yes.
Yes.
How do we do that, though?
Remove shame? Yeah. I don't know. I started an email draft where anytime like one of those shame memories hits me, I write it down so I keep track of what they are. And then I see later on, I go back and look at it and see which one still has power over me. Which one, when I think about it, do I get that shame shiver? And which ones don't anymore? I think it's a process of getting used to it. Maybe it's a process of you write down all the shameful things. And then you keep reading it every day until it no longer feels shameful. It's immersion. It's immersion list therapy.
Yes. Well,
my other thing I would say, though, is like you pick something shameful, the person you trust the most, like the safest space, and that may not be your partner. That may not, you know what I mean? Like the friend, whoever, you say it out loud to them. Because I think the moment you say it out loud, if somebody hears it and they look at you like, okay. It takes it out. Like, that's one of the things, you know, with, like, recovery and meetings and shit. It's like you go into a meeting and then people say this shit and then you're like, they're like, great, keep coming back. And you're like, oh, am I fine? You know what I mean?
No. Okay, I will tell you, when I was in the meetings, though, you go in there and you tell your stuff and you're like, oh, my God, so much shame. But then somebody will always trump you. And then they'll have something else that's worse than yours. You're like, oh, I don't even need to be here. I'm not even that bad. Girl, what?
Yeah,
we do need to remove shame, but sometimes people don't have any shame and then they're crying on a reel on Instagram. So I don't.
Yes, yeah.
There's got to be a line, you know?
Right.
Just so, this person, 15 years, trying to rediscover who they are. So Sid, when you guys broke up, did you have to rediscover anything about yourself as a single person?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, what was the stuff that you had to rediscover? And how did you do it?
I need to not be codependent. Like, I didn't know I was codependent until I got out of it. I was like, oh, I really do call or text somebody immediately when I have a question, when it's like Google. Also, you have two legs, you have two hands. You can do it yourself. What is wrong with you? And then I realized that I have no game. I am very corny, and it just so happens that I do have great bone structure, so that tricks you into thinking that I'm cool. I got it. And then you hear me talk and say, well, I'm on Tinder. And I was like, I'm looking for mutual physicality, thinking that meant sex. And it did not. And I was like, this girl just wouldn't write me back. And it's like, yeah, bitch, because she was like, what are you talking about? So, yeah, I learned a lot. I learned a lot in those few months. Being single.
So in other words, you just kind of like went back to living your life. And then. Okay. So I think that's actually pretty good advice. It's just like, instead of like trying to like go through and like be like, huh, what do I do? Who am I? Just like start doing things. And
right.
And then learn from those.
Right. Like anything too, where like, cause I know again, you know, cause I'm lazy and don't like to do stuff. When I'm actually trying something where I'm like, huh, normally I would go, huh, and then just go back to playing Candy Crush. But when you're trying, you go, huh, and then you get up and do it. You know what I mean? So like when someone says, come to this random movie screening, and it's like, oh God, what is the movie subtitled? Go. You might discover you love German cinema. It's like, come to this party with a bunch of accountants. Okay, cool. We'll see if anybody's fun there. It's like you just do the kind of stuff, and it obviously is on the other side of Coco. But like doing stuff where, you know, normally it wouldn't be your go-to because we all get our routines, we all get comfortable, and just like trying that little kind of stuff. Because you said you have three kids. So then my other question too would be like, how old are they? Meaning, can we lead him home alone and really just like do our thing? Or do you have to like be home by 7:30?
Yes, is one a babysitting age?
Exactly. Yes, so get the older one.
Toss a couple bucks and some Reese's peanut butter cups at them and be like, watch the other two. I'm going out of the town.
That's not her voice. That's not her voice.
But I love that voice, Andy, and I hope that you're doing voiceovers. Let's do it.
I don't know. My agent, you got to put me up for it. I know you're only a lit agent, but why not put me up for some voiceovers?
Are you listening? Do you listen to our podcast, Andy's Agent?
Come on, Andy's Agent. Andy's Agent is named Chad. I got it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have anything to add to that. Then just like live, like get back out there. Try and
just
like,
try
stuff no matter what.
Right.
Exactly. Say yes before you say no.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have a yes year.
Yes day, if you will, on Netflix.
Yes
now.
Day, starring Naomi Ekperigo and Leonardo Nam.
Okay, this next one.
Okay.
We got another VM.
We got one more.
Are you ready, Sid? Can you bring
ready?
It home?
Okay, of course. Great.
Ready?
Wonderful.
This is
we love it.
One more voicemail.
I love your voicemails.
Hey, Naomi and Andy. I don't want to leave my name, so I'm just going to say, call me Yikes.
Yikes.
But so basically, my partner and I have been together for almost 6 years now, and we're getting to that age, that lovely age, where we can't be on our parents' health insurance anymore. My job offers health insurance, so I'm probably going to pick that up. But her job does not, so we're trying to figure out what to do. She jokingly maybe said that, why don't we just get married so we can, like, have shared health insurance benefits. And we've both talked about it before, and we probably want to get married at some point, but, like, not anytime soon. And also, I've had friends who've gotten married literally just for health insurance, and it's never worked out. So, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out what to do, because I don't want her to get screwed out of health insurance, and I don't want to get screwed out of health insurance. So I'm just wanting to see what you guys do. Like, because you're not technically married yet. I know it's coming. I'm really excited. But, yeah, if you could just let me know any advice you have on, like, health insurance for, like, long-term couples. Without getting married, just yet, that would be really great. All right, thanks so much. Bye.
Sid, you had a strong reaction about partway through that one.
And she was like, should we get married for health insurance?
I know I said that as a joke, but you never want somebody to actually say that to you. It's like you have to think that inside and that be your little like ploy. You're like, oh, this is what's really going to happen. But you don't say that. So can I use your health insurance? Like, no. That's how you know. It's like, okay, you're just way too transparent, and that's not the kind of transparency I want to start a relationship off. Your transparency is as thin as my edges? No. But I think, you know, y'all gotta find some jobs. There's gotta be some jobs with some good insurance, no? Yes? She didn't say what she does.
Right. Well, she said she does have it through her job, right? So she's got that. But then I would say, like, for instance, though, and if anything, depending on what you make, you just had, like, you know, Obamacare.
Yes.
Basically, once you could get that.
Yes.
And if anything, not being married helped because then it wasn't like you combined income. You know what I mean?
Right,
It's like you get a better deal when they're like, oh, are you kind of broke?
Yeah. Like, wait, Sid, I know you go to church, right? Are you still Methodist?
No, I do not go to church. My church is anywhere and everywhere. But no, I believe in a higher power, but I don't subscribe to just, you know, one thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sorry, yeah. I thought there was. I remember when you and Marie were on the live show, I thought you were talking about going to church or something then.
Oh, we did. We went to Hillsong, the one where
Chris
the pastor.
Pratt.
Yeah. Ooh, he ain't shit. But yeah. Yeah, I was, that was when I was at my rock bottom and I was like, yeah, I totally want my pastor to have a neck tattoo. Let's go.
Wait, what is this place?
It's like celebrity rock and roll church.
Is that where Justin Bieber went?
Yep.
It was not cool.
Well, some things have been put out that were like, let's not go to that church no more.
Uh-huh. No, because I was asking because I was wondering if you had like a traditional kind of like feeling about marriage. Have you been raised religious? And
I think that at the end of the day, marriage, you would want it to be about like love, et cetera, et cetera. But marriage is a partnership, like financially, like that's for, like the government on mm-hmm. on paper. It's mainly about money and things that don't have anything to do with love per se. So, yes, I want people to get married because they love each other, but it's also a fucking business.
Right.
Like, you just can't. And would you be all willy-nilly with your business? I mean, some people are. Some people yeah. are. And that is what Tabitha Brown said. That's your business. So I think that there's another way. If they want to get married, then let's go. But I would hate to rush into marriage because of, you know, United Healthcare.
Right. Right. Yeah. Even though it's trash, you got to take trash. What you can get.
Yeah.
But because also, too, when they're like, we're getting at that age where we don't qualify. That's pretty young. That's still like, yeah. what, 26, 27. So I also just feel like, you know, you change so much. I mean, if you live in life, you change a lot in your 20s. So even though they've been together 6 years, who knows? And you definitely, as you're saying, it's like, don't get into something for the practice. Don't get into that for the practicality of it.
Yep.
Because trust me, it will be that practicality goes out the window when you divorce that person. Because
exactly.
if you divorce in 5 years, your lives have totally changed. Next thing you know, you paying her alimony because of the lifestyle to which she has become accustomed. Like, it is not it.
I don't want none of that hurts to hear out loud. I don't want that. I mean, I do want to get married, but also yeah. I'm just like, okay, so this is the reason why I really, if I had to get married, this is the reason why. My friend was dating this guy for years and years and years. They had a baby. She was living in his condo for many years. They had been together for like 10 years, but they never got married. The guy dies unexpectedly.
Oh my Oof. Gosh.
Her name is not on the condo. They kicked her out. She's not on the will. There's none of that.
Ugh.
So she's like fucked financially.
Right.
And they has a whole son, like his future. There is no safety net when mm-hmm. you just guys are not like on paper together. Mm-hmm. So I think if I am building a future with somebody, yeah, we gonna have to be on paper though.
Yeah.
Just yeah, a little yeah, yeah. bit. Because I felt bad for her, everything that she was going through. Like, she's like, how could they not know that, like, we have a son together?
Right.
He's on the birth certificate.
It's right. Like, shouldn't he count? Exactly.
They don't care about none of that.
Oh, my God. That's
terrible.
That's
like the devil, the government. It sucks.
Yeah.
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 Wait, do you guys have a partnership? Because I know that, like gay people can have, you know, they can get married, obviously, but also
yeah,
there's,
yeah.
like.
Domestic. Yeah, we have domestic yeah. through, like, SAG-AFTRA.
Yeah.
Yeah, so tricky, especially in the neoliberal hellscape that we all live in, where you do, where like not having health insurance is tantamount to gambling with your
right.
life sometimes.
Right. You could go bankrupt.
Yep. I would say if you're relatively young, there were many years, and hopefully my parents are not listening to this, which I don't think they are because they think podcasts are videos. That there were years, some years where I did not have health insurance, and they maybe thought I had health insurance, but I was young and pretty healthy, and I lucked out, and I didn't really need
right
anything.
You live a very safe life,
yes.
if you will.
Although I did, I sliced when I was washing dishes, one of the glasses broke, and it just sliced all the skin off on my thumb, and I was like, please stop bleeding so I don't have to go to the emergency room. Please stop bleeding yep. so I don't have to go to the emergency room. And there's now this like scarry area, but it did stop
you
bleeding
live.
And I did not have to go to the emergency room.
You are totally here. You're fine. You're good.
So I lucked out on that one. But okay. So if you guys are, I would say if you're relatively healthy and there's no real medical things that have to be done, that can't be done for whatever the doctor charges, I would say don't do it.
Yep.
No other possibility and you just need the health insurance because it's a medical emergency, then I guess risk it. But like, it's, I don't, you know.
Well, risk, I mean, we're also not saying risk it indefinitely. As Sid started, find a job with coverage for the girlfriend, right? Because here's what I would do, right? You got a little more time until you're, Go get that physical now, honey. Make sure you're healthy. Mm-hmm. We don't want to find out we have like a long-term condition that requires guys to care. Get in there, okay? And then once you find out you're good to go, that what you're in essence doing is just buying yourself time until you find a job that will give you coverage. This is not meant to be like, well, just don't have coverage and figure it out. No, she's going to have to find a job that will give her that.
Yes.
Exactly.
So
I would say a physical at a decent doctor is probably somewhat affordable.
No, honey, you know where they get you? They get you in the blood work. It's the testing that gets you. Because the office visit might be a hundo, but then, honey, if you want to know what's going on inside, that's going to run you a couple thousand.
Yeah.
You surely did. Surely is.
That's the problem. That's the problem there.
Sid, what did you do in the years? Did you have insurance your entire life?
No, I didn't. As soon as, you know, me and my mom were no more, I was not on her insurance. And then I did not care. I literally lived my life like I did have Blue Cross Blue Shield, but I did not. And so because I lived my life so recklessly, you know, there's a couple times I was in the emergency room. I was hospitalized, no insurance. And they try to hit me with like crazy bills. Mm-hmm. You know, girl, they not paid. I got some outstanding bills that was, I don't know, like 10 years ago. I think after 7 years, they just erased stuff. So
wait, Sid, do you mind if I ask what happened? How did you end up in the hospital?
Oh, I had food poisoning. But they thought that I had meningitis.
Oh my God.
Which was a lie. They just were trying to rack up the bill.
Yeah.
Harlem Hospital, I do not care about. And do you know someone stole my sneakers?
At Harlem Hospital?
At Harlem Hospital. I left the hospital with no sneakers. They took me to the lost and found. They tried to give me some pink crocodile shoes, some flip flops, or some white socks. They were like, here's your options if you want to leave with something.
Wow. I was born in Harlem Hospital. I am not surprised by what you've just said.
Yeah, girl. Just knowing that's exact. Meanwhile, I walked in. They stole my sneakers but gave me all of my cash back that I had in my purse.
So wait, what happened? So you was obviously at your bed, you know, on the side or whatever. So when you were like asleep or something, somebody just came for the shoes.
I think they just came for the shoes.
Yeah.
They just came. Somebody who worked there took the shoes for, and they weren't even my shoes. They were my best friend's mom's shoes.
Oh God.
They were Nike Shocks and they were very expensive sneakers.
Oh, in my mind, there were those fancy Lil Nas X Montero sneakers.
No. This is like 15 years ago.
Oh God, that's fucking awful. Especially when it's not yours, you know?
Ugh. Yeah. Ugh. My mom was like, so are you gonna give me those sneakers back? And I just like Homer Simpson right back into the bushes. And I was like, she's a mom, she'll get some more sneakers, she's fine.
That's like you and your medical bills, you're just Homer back into the bushes.
Yeah,
you're
it.
Like, you know what, they got other people to fleece.
Mm-hmm. I like that's now a new phrase, Homer back into the bushes.
Yeah Homer in the bushes,
we all get it.
So that's what y'all gotta do, ladies.
Yeah,
I'm happy for your love, though, but don't make it. Don't get married because of that.
Yeah, unless it's a medical emergency.
That's true.
Like Joey on Friends.
Right.
When he had he didn't have insurance and he had to
get hernia.
Yes, he just had to do one more commercial or something for his SAG insurance.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh my God. That's too real. That's triggering actually to hear that.
I know. Oh, please. I'd be doing that. I'm like, okay, well, I need a writing job. I need to hit my WGA minimum.
Yes.
So I can have the coverage.
I think couples, this is WGA, are you listening? If you have a couple that's in the WGA together, both their income should count towards their insurance.
Oh, yeah.
I agree. Nice. Yes.
Are you listening, WGA?
Are you listening? Andy's agent and WGA. Are you listening? We're insane. Sid, thank you so much for doing the podcast. Thank you for being here. It's so good to see you.
I'm like so happy that like it happened because, you know, my scatterbrain, you never know. But also it just puts more into perspective about like marriage because I throw it around loosely with my significant other. But like, yeah, it does take a lot of work and it's not just about the insurance and I'm fully into a partnership and just the work that needs to be done. And I want to have something like this. Did I say that on here? I was like, I want to have something like you guys, except gay.
Well, our relationship is queer in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. I'm kidding.
I see it.
I feel like someone said that to us once. I forgot who it was, but somebody was like, your relationship is kind of queer. And I was like, all right, I'll take it. But anywho, I'm going to stop now. You guys, thank you so much for listening. Sid is the best in the game, and we'll see you next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.